All right. With Ephesians 3:13, Paul is going to encourage us a little bit in his sufferings, okay? And so we're going to talk a little bit about suffering tonight, but let's read our verse. Is it not on? Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. And I have it in white because the sign was yellow. I'm sorry, I just forgot to do the yellow. Okay, so anyhow, I want you to read it with me. Now, this is God's word, so I want you to put all your oomph into it. All right, here we go. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now, stop and think about that. I mean, Paul's pretty cool guy to be able to say that therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart in this thing. It really means, when lose heart, it means to give in to the bad. To give in to the bad because of my tribulations, because it's for your glory, Ephesians. And I look at that and I think, wow, what an attitude. You know, as I was doing my research this week, I came across Chemo's Kauai Rules. And called No Rain, No Rainbows, which I thought was appropriate for this verse. And let me just go through these rules. Here's his 10 rules. Never judge a day by the weather. Okay? The best things in life aren't things. Don't you like that? That's a good one. Tell the truth, there's less to remember. Speak softly and wear a loud shirt. That's definitely Hawaii, isn't it? Okay. Goals are deceptive. The unaimed arrows never misses. He who dies with the most toys still dies. age is relative. I really like this one. Age is relative. When you're over the hill, you pick up speed. There are two ways to be rich. Make more or desire less. Now, I can't think of a more true statement than that. Isn't that true? Beauty is internal, looks mean nothing. And then 10, no rain, no rainbows. And you know, when I looked at no rain, no rainbows, it certainly is the theme of Paul's verse for this evening as we continue our journey in Ephesians. And I just want to read this again to you. Therefore, I ask that you do not give into a bad attitude. I took a little bit of liberty there to put my own thing in. At my tribulations for you, which is your glory. No wonder Paul talked about prayer in 12, right? That he told us that we could pray and we have access to God because he's suffering persecution and the people of Ephesus know it. And they're having a hard time because they can hardly handle it. They know Paul well. But it's a biblical fact for you and I that we will suffer as well. And Jesus said, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses will come, but woe to the man by whom the offense comes. In other words, we are not going to stop offenses from coming. People are going to be offended, and we're going to get offended. If we don't quickly address the situation, it almost becomes impossible at some point to erase that offense, and we suffer as a result. So I want to share a few observations about suffering in our lives tonight. Observation one. As a follower of Christ, you and I will experience suffering. Now, Paul began this chapter describing himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ, and we know it kind of has a double meaning here. Number one is he's in Rome, in prison, waiting to talk to Caesar, and almost forgot what his name was. We know that when he actually did talk to Caesar, he lost his head more than one way, right? And then he's also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, because when you think that on the road to Damascus, Jesus, when he stopped Paul and said, Paul, why do you kick against the goats? He didn't say, hey, Paul, what do you think about joining me? Is that something you'd like to do or not? Right? He didn't do that. He just said, you're it. In fact, let me just read this conversation, because Ananias is a Christian, and God talks to Ananias about going and seeing Paul and getting him and bringing him home. And it says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, doesn't that want to make you jump in with Paul right now? Man, I'm telling you, what a statement to be made. And just before Jesus went to the cross, he warned his followers that they would experience suffering as long as they remained here on earth. Listen to this from John 16. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that really is the essence of suffering, is be of good cheer because he's overcome. Now, let's take a good quick look at James in the words of James. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay? Do you do that? Oh, man. Thank you, God. Let me praise you because I just had this suffering and I got accused of something I didn't do. We don't quite react that way, do we? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, I want you to notice something here with James' words. When you face trials, he didn't say if you face trials, right? Notice that? He said when you face trials. In other words, suffering and trials are inevitable in the lives of the believers. Well, and I think they're inevitable in the lives of the unbelievers too. When you stop to think about it, all people have that. But the advantage that you and I have is that we can call on God and ask him for help, in whom we have the boldness and access with confidence through faith in him, what we just got done learning. Observation number two, suffering reveals our true nature. Bummer. The word translated sufferings indicates something that's under extreme pressure, a squeezing in, a pressure. And this morning, many of you are tonight, many of you are experiencing or possibly experiencing some kind of pressure, suffering in your life right now. For some of you, it may be physical affliction. I know we have several here who are in constant pain, or you may no longer be able to do the things that you could once do. Isn't that ugly when that happens? For some, it may be crushing emotional stress of a broken relationship, or in unending pressure on the job. And I know I can't begin to describe all the different types of crushing suffering that you might be experiencing right now, but Paul certainly can relate to you. And he describes just a small part of what he suffers in 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 5. Because I think we need to remember that all these biblical characters suffered before us. It helps when we are in that place of feeling tribulation and suffering. Verse 4. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. I put that in the New Living Translation because it was real clear. Paul clearly understands this suffering reveals what we're really like inside. In fact, the word for suffering originally used to describe the process of squeezing olives to extract the oil. And look at that. That's an olive press. We saw quite a few of those when we were in Israel, and they still do it today. A lot of them still do it that way. And in those cases, the crushing reveals what's inside the olive, and this oil comes out. And when we're crushed, those of us who are God's children can be bummed and extrude anger, or it can be a sweet savor, amen? It could be a sweet savor of Jesus Christ from deep within our lives. And Paul describes this process even more in Philippians chapter 1. I want to read that. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ. Now, when the New King James says granted on behalf of Christ, what do you think that word means, granted? It's given, right? It's been given. It's a gift. Okay? So I want you to look at this marvelous gift now. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, that is a gift, amen? But also to suffer for his sake, amen? Oh, you were so quick on the trigger there. Yeah. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. So my question for this evening is this. When you experience suffering in your life, what is squeezed out of your lives that others could see? What is it? Boy, it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes we take the route of the world and just not very good. Sometimes we praise the Lord and keep it there. But sometimes it's that self-pity, that bitterness, that grumbling and complaining. But maybe it's the sweetness, the aroma of Jesus Christ. Observation number 3. God can use me regardless of my circumstances. Paul has ministered longer in Ephesus than he did anywhere else. He was there for a few years. And when they heard he was in prison, it was discouraging to them for a couple reasons. First, they had a hard time seeing how God was going to use Paul anymore, right? He's in prison, he's in Rome, he's shackled, so how in the world can he do ministry like he'd been doing? Since secondly, they were a little worried that it might happen to them as Christians. Yet, Paul recognizes that God will use him regardless of what the circumstances, whether he's shackled, whether he's walking and ministering, God is going to use him. And that's just what happened. We see that he's in Rome, he's under guard, and what does he do? He writes the best letters that he ever wrote to several churches, to Timothy, to Titus, to Philemon. And we look at these letters and we think, man, the depth of what Paul's writing. What a witness to us. You know, unfortunately, too many of us use our circumstances as an excuse for serving God. You know, many times I hear people saying things like, well, I really can't do that right now, but when my circumstances change, I'll step up and serve. Or here's a partial list of excuses I hear on somewhat of a routine basis. When I'm not so busy at work, when I have more money, when I have more time, when I know the Bible better. Now, I'd love a nickel for every one of those, you know, because I just put the basket down here in probably overflow Colorado, you know. When I get over this loss, when I get to feeling better, when my kids get older, and the list goes on and on. And I'm not saying that sometimes there aren't legitimate reasons for having to step back, but at the same time, I'm convinced that God can use everyone in whatever circumstances they may be in. And my proof, Paul. Now, I want you to think about this. I know 3 men in this church in the past month that have flat out quit their jobs with nothing in mind. Nothing waiting for them. And why? Why would they do that? Because their circumstances were so that they couldn't minister. They couldn't spend time with their family and their kids because of travel. And so they just quit. All three of them quit. Because their circumstances demanded that they be on that job and they couldn't be with their kids. And it revealed to me when I listened to them, because both of them at the same time came to me in one of my discipleships and said, "I'm quitting. I just put in my notice." And the other one said, "Oh, that's funny, because I just quit my job." Neither one of them knew what they were going to do. And you know what? That's a sweet-smelling aroma of Jesus Christ. Why did they want to do that? Because they want to serve God. They want to love their family and their kids. And I'm telling you, I was proud of them. I'm proud. You know, it's hard to quit with nothing, isn't it? It's a lot easier if you have something in your hand going. And I just thought, man, these guys love their family. They love God. They love each other. And they're going to serve, and nothing's going to get in the way of that. Observation 4, and probably the most important tonight, is suffering is a key to your spiritual maturity. You know, I don't even have much to say on this because it's so clear, but I want to read Romans 5 about maturity. It's very similar to what we read earlier with James. And not only that, talking about the faith of Christ, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, which is patience. And perseverance, or patience, character. And character, hope. Suffering produces maturity. I remember talking to a relative of mine, and I said, "Well, we know that suffering creates maturity." And the person said to me, "Well, I don't think so. I don't think we need to suffer at all." Well, that would be great, but that doesn't work, does it? So it isn't whether we're going to suffer, because the Bible says that's going to happen, right? The question is, what are you going to do with the suffering? Are you going to become bitter and angry, as most of the world does? Or are you going to count it all joy, like James says? Or glory, as Paul says? Because we gain growth. And I've often said this over time, you never learn anything when everything's going right. You really don't. You just get to praise the Lord and have a sense of joy. It's when we get down there into those trials and tribulations that we thicken up, so to speak, in the Lord. And we grow. And Paul said that suffering is a gift, a free gift of God. And we know that suffering knocks the rough edges off. It begins to mold us and it begins to shape us if we let it. But we've got to have the attitude that goes with it. And if you're trying to resist suffering, you're in trouble, because it's going to come. And I've often likened it to falling off the Empire State Building with suffering and pain, and that is, the fall going down doesn't kill you, it's a sudden stop, right? And the problem is, that's like pain in suffering. If you walk through it, it isn't that bad. But if you resist it, it's like hitting the ground at the Empire State Building. And people that suffer so hard with trials and tribulation are because they're fighting it. And I'm just saying, people, let's quit fighting it. Let's walk through it. It's a gift to us. God has given, so it will mold us and make us and mature us so that we can become more like Christ. Amen? Are you with me? Let's pray. Father, we come tonight just loving you and thinking about you through this whole thing. Lord, we just look at Jesus, who came and he experienced suffering from the time he was little. He was born out of wedlock, for as far as the people around him thought, which is horrible in those days. And he grew up with all that and endured that. He went out in the wilderness and was tempted and tempted and tempted by Satan. He went through the ministry and people yelled at him and wanted to kill him. And finally, they took him to the cross and nailed him to the cross and went through horrible pain. And we look at all that. And he said he went in joy to the cross. And Lord, I pray that we will have joy in our tribulations, our trials, and our suffering. Lord, help us to remember that each and every one of those that come into our life, help us mature and grow. And may be used for your sake, Lord. May we become closer and draw closer to you. While our heads are bowed, you might be here this evening and you came and you don't have a relationship with God and you've been looking for one. Let me just talk to you for a second. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What a miraculous thing to believe that he's Lord and that he was raised from the dead, and we get to spend eternity with God. If I'm talking to you, my friend, I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you just pray along with me in your heart, knowing that you're going to ask God to come into your life and change your life. And the prayer goes like this: Dear Father, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. God, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, as that verse said. And so, Lord, come into my life and save me today. While our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer tonight, in a minute, will you raise your hand up, put it down, let God know you meant business, and we want to pray for you. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? I'd also like to say, if you raise your hand, you want to come up and talk afterwards, I will hang around and talk with you and help you get started in your Christian life. Lord, we give you the glory tonight, and we give you the honor. Thank you so much for our freedom to worship you and to care about you just as you have always loved us and cared about us. And Lord, may we serve you for the remainder of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship together.